Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, let's go with the bad news.
The bad news. Who hasn't been here before? A man is accused of threatening to blow up Willie's Chicken Shack Tuesday night. He claimed to police that confronted him about the allegation that his words were merely meant to reference a bowel movement, not an actual explosion of a bomb.
I mean, I may have said I'm going to blow up a place.
Specifically a bathroom.
Just a bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if it's like, you know, a place like Willie's Chicken Shack that it's hot, greasy food.
Arthur Posey, 30 years old, was booked on charges in connection to a bomb threat after his story was not corroborated with the restaurant's employees. Shortly after police were made aware of the bomb threat at the restaurant, an officer confronted Posey inside of a business in the next block where the officer saw him enter. Posey claimed to the officer he told a male employee that he was going to, quote, blow the bathroom up in reference to a bowel movement. However, police say a Willie's Chicken Shack employee told officers Mr. Posey never told him anything about a bathroom, just said, I'm going to blow this place up. The restaurant's manager said that a man later identified as Posey went into the restaurant, asked them what time the restaurant closed. She told the man that she did not know when the restaurant closed. The manager stated, the man then replied, y'all about to close right now because I'm going to get a bomb and blow this place up. Little different there. The whole I'm going to get a bomb thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to blow this bitch up.
Also, why would you tell an employee that you're going to be in a poop?
Well, no. I mean, I think that's giving him a heads up. If you
I mean, do you, though?
Just get the mop ready.
Yeah.
Just a warning.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been there? If I am on that jury, not guilty. Not guilty.
You'll have some empathy for him.
Seriously. I think, you know, maybe he's got some IBS.
Mm-hmm.
Something,
you know what? Maybe.
Some good news today as well. Okay. Doesn't sound like good news at the start of this, but it is good news.
Okay.
A broken hoist rope was the problem as passengers left the 95th floor of the signature room in Chicago's John Hancock Center when the elevator plummeted 84 floors in a free fall.
So you were dead on the 95th floor?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it fell almost to the bottom.
None of the passengers knew how far they had fallen when they were rescued until a tourist couple, the group was a tourist couple, a group that included two students and a pregnant woman who has not been identified. The rescue itself took several hours as the car was in a blind shaft for express elevators with very few access points from outside. The firefighters eventually located it, figured out where it had stopped, and then just had to cut a hole in the wall and pry the elevator doors open.
Does that sometimes get be in the, like, in the back of your head that the elevator is going to fall?
Yeah.
I always think
if I just jump right before it hits the bottom, I'll be fine. It's not how it works. But
which physics work like that? The fact
I like
that
how you think, though.
Yeah, it fell 80 floors. What if you were on the 70th floor? Is that the lead time that it takes for
it takes 84 floors to stop.
I
hope that it didn't start at 82.
One floor.
Yeah.
Like it drops and all of a sudden, boom, just stops.
Have you ever been in an elevator where anything's gone wrong? It's terrifying.
No.
Instantly, I'm like, start looking around, deciding who we're going to eat first.
See, I'm on the other side of things. It's like, I just ate some Willie's Chicken Shack. I'm like, oh God, where am I going to blow this elevator up?
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
It's not too late, right? I mean, we can still get after this. Have a good week. It's a short week.
I think so.
I mean,
to inspire us to be better and make it impossible for Ian to put together a blooper reel at the end of this short week, we should inspire ourselves with last week's blooper reel.
We've been incredibly perfect up until this point.
So far this week.
Yeah. Not a single bloop.
Right.
Yeah.
Not one.
Right.
And there will not be one.
Are we jinxing ourselves by saying this?
No. How dare you? How dare you? Non-believers like
I'm
you
not
are
non-believer.
The reason why there are bloops. And we will be bloop free.
Let's see if that's the case.
Amen.
Let's see if Sylvia's non-belief led to all of these bloops from last week.
It's the that's the blooper reel.
Here we go. Question number one, a pass should you need it, feel free to take it.
Okay.
Question number one, Olympia is the capital city of which U.S. state? Question number one. What do the letters in the acronym CD-ROM stand for?
Compact Disc Read-Only Memory.
You said compact disc.
Disc. Compact disc read-only memory.
You said compact disc.
Disc.
There was something that got thrown at my brother. What was it? $250 gift card for Living Spaces.
While we were there, the Santa Ana windows. Santa Ana windows.
Got five total for you. You get three or more correct. You're going to be our winner today. Simple enough. You get three or more correct. You're going to be our winner today. Simple as not.
Familiar with what steampunk is, let me explain it to you for my rudimentary, description of it. My rudimentary, Do yourself a favor. Subscribe on YouTube. It's called State of the Fart.
So good.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Subscribe on YouTube. It's called State of the Fart. So good.
My rudimentary Santa Ana windows. You get three or more correct, you're going to be our winner today. Simple as not.
Do yourself a favor. Subscribe on YouTube.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Well, Google is cleared to build a $600 million data center in Henderson.
It's a big-ass hard drive.
Yes, it is.
Why don't they just call it that? Because that's what it is.
Big-ass hard drive.
It's a big-ass hard drive.
$600 million hard drive. It is a 64-area location on two parcels of West Warm Springs Road, east of Boulder Highway, according to the application documents and property records.
You mean a 64-acre?
Huh?
You said 64-area.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well,
you mean
yeah.
Acre?
64-acre,
I'm just curious. Maybe the area is,
it is 64 acres. The area, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
You weren't wrong.
You just quantified a $600 million data center as a big-ass hard drive.
Yeah, that's accurate. That is accurate.
The data center is slated to open in December of 2020. Design LLC, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Mountain View, California-based tech giant, would own the facility and Google would manage operations and hiring. They're saying it would bring at least 50 full-time jobs to the state, paying an average of $31 an hour for each position, according to officials. And it would also create more than 3,000 temporary construction jobs as they build this thing. Again, $600 million investment is not going to happen right up front. It's going to be over the course of 10 years as they build this thing, get it up and running and everything else. But they did get a pretty handsome tax break as a result of deciding to build it in Henderson. But,
of course they did.
Henderson's booming, man. All the stuff going on out in Henderson seems like it's pretty pretty big deal.
When they fire me here, I want to be one of the guys who gets to hold the Uzi and guard those places.
They have guys holding Uzis?
Like over at Switch, which is a very similar... Which,
by the way, if you've never seen Switch, how big it is? Uh-huh. Have you ever driven past that thing? So if you start at Warm Springs and Jones, and that's where Switch begins, and you just drive eastbound, it's a building that goes on for like a mile.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. It's insane. And then as soon as you get done with the building on the right-hand side, after the mile of driving, you look to the left... And another building starts.
And it just keeps going and going.
Do that today. Like, drive by over in that area just for the... It is astounding how big that place is.
But they got guys with Uzis there.
I mean...
They do. They take their data security very seriously. They got dudes...
You should definitely not be in charge of Uzi holding.
If you have important information that needs to be guarded, you learn this in every single movie from the 80s, you need a guy with an Uzi, and he also has to have a ponytail. Those are the requirements.
No, that guy always gets killed.
Yeah, but are you going to grow a ponytail?
Maybe.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man.
And then I will have my own, after I grow my ponytail, I'll have a series of talks where I tell stories called Ponytails.
Mahoney Ponytails.
That's right.
I think it's awesome, though. I mean, we have the Raiders Stadium. We have...
The Raiders practice facility going on in Henderson as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's...
There's a new Costco there.
Oof.
Well.
Oof. Oh, my goodness.
How to do.
The Las Vegas marijuana industry is booming. one step in the annual marijuana business conference here in Vegas, and the massive growth of the industry is evident. Many of last year's first-time show attendees are now among the record 1,100 exhibitors from 60 countries who have found their business niche in the exploding international market. The convention, which 2 years ago had about 10,000 people, now is boasting more than 25,000 attendees.
If these countries were smart, they would follow suit and they would all legalize marijuana. You know, if we were smart, we would legalize it across the United States. But in the meantime, we will continue to collect the windfall of money here in Nevada.
Yeah, so it's still illegal, obviously, under federal law. But with the nationwide legalization of marijuana in Canada, it opened
Mexico's
the door for
working on it too.
A lot of U.S.-based pot companies to gain access to capital and publicly traded organizations.
Where they didn't we're have parking that our money up in Canada?
Pretty much, yeah. Las Vegas can have a whole bunch of visitors this weekend for Thanksgiving. Tourism officials say they expect 300,000 people to visit for Thanksgiving.
That seems like
a lot. That's like how many people are here for EDC and New Year's.
Are people going to the buffets?
I mean, probably, right?
I had a buddy who did go to, he took his parents because they live in Texas, so they came to visit him for Thanksgiving.
And they buffet? Took him to a buffet. Was it good?
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, I ate at the buffet on Thanksgiving at Sunset Station. It was pretty good.
All right. I feel like there's a lot to unpack there. But
I feel like you have to like make reservations like months in advance or something.
Can you make reservations at a buffet?
I
don't think you can.
No,
right?
You just show up. Unless you are like a platinum member.
Yeah. You're like, I've gambled $17,000 in the casino this week, which makes me a presidential member, which means I can cut the line for the buffet.
Aren't you?
Worth it.
Aren't you a like a presidential member with stations?
No, man.
What is it?
That was a couple years ago. Things did not go well for me. I actually looked down because I was doing my taxes, and so you have to see your win-loss statements, and I'm like, well, no wonder they were so nice to me over there. Jesus Christ, I'm a terrible gambler.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone. So, Sylvia, do you have any dates planned? What's going on in dating life?
Message deleted.
I mean, it is the holidays now, officially. It's the week of Thanksgiving. That means that maybe you have a little bit of extra time on your hands.
I wouldn't, if I were dating someone new right now, I wouldn't invite them to Thanksgiving.
No.
Or, hang out with them during Thanksgiving.
You wouldn't hang out with them at all over Thanksgiving? I feel like there's...
No, because
I feel
like
you always have family obligations, but there's so much downtime. There's so much extra time.
You get to go do whatever you want.
Right.
Especially if you don't have kids.
Which, by the way, not to get sidetracked here, because I do want the answer to the question that Andy had for you. Mm-hmm. But they always say, the busiest night of the year for bars is the night before Thanksgiving. Have you ever gone out to bars the night before Thanksgiving? It's not really that busy. No, and you sort of feel like a degenerate.
That's if you go back home, though. You go back home, smaller towns.
Right.
Especially if you're away on, if your kids are away at school. It's a busy college. If you go to really crappy bars, they're going to be really slammed.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's all the kids coming back from college and whatever who are away at school. And then they end up going out to bars afterwards when the family stuff is done.
Ian, are you a day before Thanksgiving bar guy?
Yeah, definitely. I do that every year, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, and it started in the small Wisconsin town where my girlfriend is from.
And was it slammed there?
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Maybe I'm just going to the wrong places.
Where are you going?
Well, so when I would go back to South Carolina for Thanksgiving, that's a college town, and so all the kids would be gone, and so maybe it just created this perception that it's not nearly as busy as it normally is, because all of those people are gone to all the small towns in Wisconsin where Ian is.
They're out drinking 99% of the other time, just not that night. So you're saying that for you, Sylvia, you're not bringing anybody to Thanksgiving or Christmas this year?
No.
No. You don't plan to get laid at all over the holidays?
No, we didn't say anything about that.
Oh, well.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Do any of you guys just have a random drawer full of old cables?
Message deleted.
I've got more than drawers full of cables. I've got, bins full of cables.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, I don't know what this is for, but I can't throw it away because I might need it one day. I never need it. I never do.
And if you do need it, you but probably can't find it because it's in the...
And you just say screw it, and you end up ordering a new one from Amazon anyway.
Yeah. Is it just like cables from like computers that you
don't computer cables,
own
charging cables for stuff that I don't know what it is anymore.
Same way. Yeah. I've got a giant like whole not even like you said not even
like a plastic like Tupperware thing that like goes in a closet like a huge somewhere. One, right?
Yeah. The only ones that like are even worth saving now at this point are just HDMI cables. Like, that's it.
How many do you think you have in total?
How many cables total?
No. Just HDMI.
Just
cables.
HDMIs.
Oh. I mean, they're all in use for the most part. Okay. Yeah.
Because I think I have at least 7 or 8 that are just sitting somewhere.
Oh, you're HDMI cable rich, huh?
I am. Yeah. I don't know how I got all of them.
Hey, do you ever stumble across the like 1 foot HDMI cable? You're like, why did I buy this? This is so impractical. I don't know why. At some point I thought, you know what? I need a 12-inch HDMI cable. A dumb idea that was.
I just thought please a foot was a lot longer than it was.
Yeah, right. It looked like 3 feet just eyeballing the thing.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm kind of in the funk right now. But the only thing is that it's been going on for about a week. You know, like 2 or 3 days is okay, but Jesus, man, a week. You guys ever have a run that bad?
Message deleted.
A week is nothing, man.
A week of what? What did he say?
Being down.
Being down? Like sad?
No, it's the holidays, man. We're all depressed.
Yeah, this is a good solid 3 months. I mean, just be glad that we're, you know, here somewhere. Like, being in Las Vegas makes it much easier because we don't have, you know,
my cousin
snow outside.
Sent me a picture of it snowing in Chicago this past week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was just complaining that it is 56 degrees here in the evenings.
Oh, you're a little chilly.
Yeah. Almost need to put on a light coat.
I'm going golfing tomorrow morning, and I'm like, it's going to be cold, even at like 11 o'clock.
Wait, we're not doing the show tomorrow?
No, we're doing the show.
After the show.
Oh,
had that thought, too.
Yeah. No, like 11 a.m.
11 a.m.,
I'm
going
to go golf.
When will you decide on that?
Busy week.
It is very, very, very important. But like, I'm golfing with somebody from Colorado, and I'm like, it's going to be cold, so, if you don't want to golf, we could just go drink. Uh-huh. And they're like, cold. I don't see cold anywhere on that.
To be fair, I mean, in Colorado, like, especially around springtime when baseball's getting underway, there's always like a couple of games that are snowed out because the Rockies field is covered in 4 inches of snow in May.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get it.
But still, don't try to push your judgment on me. It's cold.
It is chilly.
It is chilly.
May have an extra hot cocoa.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave, if you ruled the radio station, what would be your first adjustment around the office? You know, maybe you'd fire someone, maybe you move offices. I'm not talking like anything tyrannical, just what's some regular business stuff you'd take care of first?
Message deleted.
Pretty good idea there about moving offices. I mean, I really like our office. It's not a big office, though, and doesn't have any windows. What I would like to do is take, maybe blow out a couple of walls and make our office right towards like the pinnacle part of like when you walk in so everyone sees it.
Oh.
Just to really drive home the point that we only use the office for about 3.5 minutes a day.
3.5 minutes? At least a good 6 days.
6 minutes?
Six minutes?
We drop off our stuff in there.
I guess if you average it out from time to time, like once every 3 weeks or so, we do have a call that we normally take in the office.
And that's like an hour.
Yeah, it's about ish.
45
yeah,
minutes.
Sure.
I would add, I need sleeping quarters.
That is the dream. So Howard Stern
and a bathroom.
Reportedly
bathroom.
Used to have that. He had his own private bathroom, which isn't totally abnormal. But he also had a nap room. So as soon as he got done with the show, he would just walk down the hall and he would take a nap in his nap room and no one was to bother him. I'm like, that sounds like the best thing ever.
You know you were literally not crap in radio unless you have your own crapper. That is like the you could be a syndicated show in several different cities, whatever. But the thing you get when you know you've made it is your own private bathroom.
Yep.
So would you take the private bathroom over a nap room? See?
Oh boy.
Yes. I know.
Yes.
If you could only have one.
Yeah, I can nap in the bathroom.
On the seat?
You call it a nap room.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
Oh, boy. Bill Maher has made a lot of people mad with what he had to say this weekend about the passing of Stan Lee and just people that like comic books in general. Do you see this, Mahoney?
I did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get it that some people just don't get it. And he's one of them. And he's entitled to his opinion, even though it's wrong and callous.
He said, America is in mourning. Deep, deep mourning for a man who inspired millions to, I don't know, watch a movie, I guess. And he added that when he was growing up, comics were for kids. And when you grew up, you moved on to big boy books without the pictures. Basically, you know, just kind of downplaying the passing of Stan Lee and making fun of people that are really into Marvel and comic books in general.
It's a little salty and you know, criticizing the legacy of that man.
I think he just doesn't see what it is. Bill Maher's a guy who's obviously very smart and very funny and has always probably been popular, but I feel like it's a culture that he just doesn't understand. I don't think he understands, like, nerd culture or the fact that, like, you know, there's plenty of people out there who can take stories that are written in the comic books and apply into their own life, and it'll bring them happiness. Anything that brings somebody happiness that doesn't hurt anybody else, I'm not going to crap all over. And I think he's just off base on this and certainly got an earful of it online. I think there's a couple articles out there that were saying that he has tarnished Stanley's legacy. That's garbage.
Oh, stop.
That's not true in any way. Nothing along that nature is going to tarnish what that guy did.
He's right. Not the only one who kind of, like, criticized Stan Lee in some way. There was an actor who was criticizing the fans of Stan Lee for taking pictures of or posting their pictures with him when he passed away.
Why?
He was saying way to take the passion of a guy.
And make it about yourself. What he said.
That's people doing their own personal tribute. Shut up. Who cares?
Yeah, he took that down as well.
He apologized.
So looking at the box office from this past weekend, coming in at number 5 was Widows. Brought in $12.3 million. Instant Family was number 4.
The new Mark Wahlberg vehicle, Dave.
Oh, is that what Instant Family is?
Yes.
Is this another one of his wacky comedies?
Yeah, it actually got pretty good ratings by the critics. 79% fresh from the audience from the critics, and 86% fresh from the audience.
So really? Okay.
For a Mark Wahlberg comedy, I want to say this is probably the highest one so far. So it looks like a pretty good feel-good story, in my opinion.
$48 million to make that one, brought in $14.7 in the opening weekend. Bohemian Rhapsody down from number 2 to number 3. That one has done very well, though. Brought another $15.7 million. It cost $52 million to make. It's already up at almost $128 million.
Crazy.
The Grinch brought in another $38 million. That one cost $75 million to make. It's already at $126, so that one's done very well. And number 1 at the box office this weekend, big opening weekend for the new Harry Potter movie, Fantastic Beasts, $62.2 million.
But they're saying that this movie is so bad that it could possibly kill the entire franchise.
And it cost a ton of money. I mean, it cost $200 million to make this.
$200 million to make. It didn't make up that money worldwide. It made $191 million in the foreign markets. On top of that, $62 million here in the United States, bringing up the total to $253 million. But for a Harry Potter movie, that is very, very bad. Only 40% fresh from the critics. Audience, hardcore Harry Potter fans, still only giving it a 70. So I'm probably going to wait till it comes out on streaming to watch that one. You know, I'm a fan of the Harry Potter movies. I saw the first Fantastic Beasts, but this one's getting pretty crappy reviews. I don't think I'm going to go pay for it.
Seems like some comic book garbage to me.
No, Dave, those are real books.
Oh, they're real books. Yeah, they're actual books.
There's no pictures.
They don't have any pictures in those. Rats.
To use your imagination.
It just came out. You were talking to, you watched that Chris Pine movie over the weekend.
Outlaw King, yeah.
You like that? That was a Netflix original. Yeah. Another Netflix original from the Coen brothers came out this past weekend called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Okay.
And loved it.
You into it?
If you're a big fan of Westerns and you're a big fan of the Coen brothers, you will probably like it, but it's the best way to describe it, I think they described it this way, it's a concept album about death in movie form. So,
okay.
So Samantha Markle, who is Meghan Markle's sister, Meghan Markle, of course, the girl from Suits that married Prince Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha Markle is her sister, okay. And she does anyone have a worse family than Meghan Markle?
I have no idea, but Samantha Markle's annoying.
No, they.
She is planning to release a tell-all book that she says will expose her sister's lies.
Shut up. If you lied
your way into being royalty, good for you. You did it right.
And you're having a royal baby.
You're having a royal baby.
She won. Her dad is a piece of garbage. Her sister's a piece of garbage. It just sucks when you have family that just sucks and leeches off of you and is trying to just steal money, not steal money, but make money off of your fame when they have no real discernible talents.
Do you want to hear the title of her book?
What is it?
In the Shadows of the Duchess.
Okay, cool.
Shut up.
And she wants to release it in April or May to coincide with the birth of the royal baby. So you're going to time the release of your book at the same time that my kid is being born?
Yeah.
Screw off, Samantha.
Who's going to buy this anyway?
Like four journalists so they can read it and that's
review
about
it.
Spoil it all.
Yeah. I mean, that's at this point, like, you know, it used to be a big thing back in the day where like, oh, they wrote a tell-all book, but now every tell-all book gets written, then it's on the news if there's anything interesting in there like 10 minutes later or even before the book is on sale.
Yeah. It just seems like the whole the royal family is perfect and you better not reveal any secrets about the royal family.
That's past.
It's over.
Like after everything with Princess Di and Charles and all
after
that.
After Charles was banging Camilla, it just kind of like, oh, they're just normal people too.
Yeah.
All right.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
What is something that you do for your significant other that you hate? You're not into it at all, but you're willing to do it because she is the love of your life or he is the love of your life. So you end up doing it. Going to Twitter here, and I think a lot of people can relate to this. Deez said, I listen to country music.
Ooh. Oh. Oh, boy. I could not.
If there's a genre of music that you really hate, but you're willing to sit through it, like I feel like that's kind of a prerequisite whenever it comes to being in a relationship with somebody, is having musical tastes that sync up enough.
I feel like that's more important than even movie tastes at this point, because you're in the car probably more often than, you know, like
you
can do your
movies.
Own thing if you're at home, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're in a car going somewhere, you are in a shared space.
Yep.
So you have to both abide by, like, you know, common decency for the other person. And if we have opposite musical tastes, there's no way. There's
I feel
no
like
way
my wife kind of bamboozled me on that. Like She likes alternative music, always has.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of artists that we share, but I'll get in the car. She's listening to a country radio station. I'm like, go to commercial, Bam! Just change the it's a little dance that we do all too often in the car.
She likes Ed Sheeran, right?
I'm fine with Ed Sheeran.
Country, though.
No, I know it's not country, but it's like Ed Sheeran.
I don't dislike Ed Sheeran.
I'm fine with Ed Sheeran.
Okay. But it's the country music though. Yeah. Okay.
She hates that I have to crack her her neck and back. She hates that you have to do it for her, but you're willing to. That sounds like you're going above and beyond the call of duty, sir.
Are you good an amateur you. Chiropractor?
Those are two words that should never go together.
No,
amateur and chiropractor.
I feel like you have to know what you're doing.
I don't know. I mean, didn't you used to crack your back a lot when you were younger?
Yeah, really, man.
No. Maybe that's why I got scoliosis.
Mike said, cleaning up around the house, every time it's my turn, I hire a house cleaner to do it. She doesn't think that's fair. I think she's just jealous that I thought of it first.
I feel like, you know, you're paying it forward. You're employing a small business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really helping energize the economy. And they're probably going to do a better job. That's what I would say if that was my excuse. You know, it's like they're going to do a much better job than I am. So I'm just going to go ahead and do this.
Dan said the dishes. I hate doing dishes. But I do them out of love.
Yeah.
I hate rinsing off my dishes mm-hmm. for my fiance because she will give me a talking to if I put dishes in the dishwasher that aren't fully like if there's like stuff on there.
Yeah,
like
wash them off, man.
Yeah.
The dishwasher will wash it off.
But you
that's
don't want,
why I have
you
a
don't
dishwasher.
Want, like, food in there.
You don't want a bunch of like red peppers, like you said, like clogging up your dishwasher, you gross ass.
Just
what do you
rinse
mean?
Them.
It's not going to clog it up. It will send them down to somewhere, and it
to
won't
dishwasher
be
in Bill.
Yes,
dishwasher town.
Yes. Why am I washing dishes before I put them in a dishwasher?
No, you're
really
just washing
them
you're
off.
You're just rinsing. You're putting water on
yeah.
them.
Yeah. You have a garbage.
That's washing.
You spent $700 on a
no,
garbage
because
disposal.
You don't, you're not putting
put that thing to use. Rinse the garbage off.
I'm talking like little flakes here, man, that do nothing to anybody.
Then it shouldn't be a problem to like rinse them off.
No, because they stick to the and then I gotta get out a little scrubby bristle pad, Brillo pad, and I gotta that what is the difference
so
between
mad.
Rinsing off dishes and washing dishes?
You're
really?
Not using soap when you're rinsing.
Yeah, it's just
sometimes
a quick
you have
process.
Sometimes you have to use soap to get it off. And at that point, there's no difference. I bought a dishwasher so I could put the dishes in the dishwasher and leave it and forget it.
Well, but obviously that's not good enough because sometimes she'll open the dishwasher and your nasty ass plates will still have stuff caked on
them. She doesn't let it run.
She won't even allow it?
Don't even let it allow. Like, let's run it. Let's see what happens. Let's see what's going down here.
You're so petty. I know that you've ran that thing in your off time.
Or
when she wasn't home and it didn't get the stuff off.
Sure it did. And even if it didn't get it all off of the first pass, let's run it twice.
Just keep running. Eric said coming home. Like when you're out and about, you're having a good time, and the significant other's like, I want to go home. And you're like, no.
That's a dangerous gambit that you're playing there.
It is, man. Don't you do it, buddy.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Something that you do for your significant other, even though you don't enjoy it, you don't want to be doing it, but you're willing to because, you know, you love the person, they do a lot of stuff for you.
I want to make them happy.
Jake said, my fiance drags me to her stupid work Christmas party every year, and we have to dress up in funny Christmas sweaters.
Every single one?
I feel like the funny Christmas sweater thing has fully jumped the shark at this point.
10 years ago. Maybe it would have been funny.
Even 5 years ago, before all the corporations got involved, like Taco Bell has Christmas sweaters that they have released for this year, like funny Christmas sweaters and Thanksgiving sweaters. Like, I'm thankful for Taco Bell. You're like, when a corporation has co-opted this funny, unique thing, it used to be funny because you used to have to, like, actually go raid your dead grandpa's closet to find the Christmas sweater.
Is it like a grandma getting on Facebook? It's just, like, not cool anymore?
Maybe, yeah.
Was it ever cool to begin with, though?
It was kind of funny because you used to really have to go out of your way to find an old funny Christmas sweater. You used to have to go to a thrift shop or, like I said, steal one from a relative.
Or there's now, some like...
just like corporations make them and they advertise them on Instagram. I don't know. Like, I get why you wouldn't want to do that.
You're saying you don't want a Gordita Crunch Christmas sweater?
No, you got me there. I want that quite a bit.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'll get that for you.
And Ayla said, laundry. Why is there always so much damn laundry? Richard said something that we can't say on the radio, but he said, I've gotten pink eye 2 times this year alone. So, all right.
Maybe invest in goggles?
Lisa said, grocery shopping, man. I hate grocery shopping. I feel like grocery shopping has gotten way easier, though, with the ordering online and then just bring it out to your car. Like, if you don't like the process of grocery shopping, just do that.
Just use your app.
I still haven't done that yet.
Oh, it's so much better. You just sit on the couch and you just... And then the next day, of all people.
Yeah, you'd be the one on board.
No, I mean, I just order takeout every night.
Oh.
So you don't even need to go.
Have gotten even lazier somehow. Got it. Sean said, I let her win arguments and then added LOL, which seems like a nervous LOL because his girl may actually be reading this on Facebook.
Over his shoulder.
I think that is an important lesson to learn, though, in relationships that you got to know, like, when to let an argument go. Like, if you're having an argument, even if you are firm and you're...
When to let it go is different than letting them win the argument.
Either way, it's so hard.
I feel like it's the same thing.
Yeah?
If you let it go, you're letting them win. That's how I feel.
If you're like, all right, let's not argue anymore. That's a lot different than, you know, your stupid point of view is correct.
I don't think you want to say your stupid point of view.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right. You want to omit that part.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's the idea of letting somebody else win an argument is difficult.
Is it because of like the ego?
Yeah,
it plays into your ego. I'm very stubborn.
I don't know. Like, I know that I'm right, and I know that I'm always right. But I know that for the health of my relationship, that pushing this forward or winning at all costs may exact a high toll on the relationship, and is that worth it or not? And the answer is usually no.
What if they know that you're just letting them win, and it makes them like even more mad?
No, why would that make them mad? Because
they want to win fair and square.
If you let me win, I'm getting my way and I'm winning. So why do I care one way or the other?
Yeah, I'm too stubborn.
Going out to dinner with her parents. Oh God, going out to dinner with somebody else's parents, especially when you're younger, can be so awkward. I always hated that.
Like meeting your girlfriend's parents before your wife?
Yeah. Like just sitting there at dinner and you always feel like they're judging you because they were.
Because they are.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just depends on if they're cool or not, you know? I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And at this point, like I'd say later on in life, it doesn't matter. Like when you're in your 30s, you know, or late 20s, traditionally it's like, you know, I think it's way more awkward when you're in your like teens and even in the early parts of your 20s, because it's like the idea of their daughter or their, you know, getting intimate with, you know, you who looks like a schlub, you know, but like now at 30, it's like that doesn't matter as much anymore. They know that that's been going on. They made probably some way worse choices than you at some point along the line, right?
Not correcting him when he says, but you like my mom. She said, I really, really don't.
Oh, God. You know?
No. Spending time with my mother-in-law, she's just crazy, embarrassing to be out in public with, laughing obnoxiously and farting.
What?
is that my fiance?
Going to the gym, my boyfriend is going to school for physical therapy, so physical health is super important to him. I seriously hate it, and I suck at going to the gym, but I will suck it up out of love and support for him. That's good, though,
that
right?
Good.
Like, you don't want to do it, but when you're done with it, you feel good.
No, you don't.
Right?
Nah.
If you go to the gym?
Nah.
Yeah, you do.
Nah. I just want to go eat.
You're not doing it right, man.
Shh. Don't tell me how I'm doing it, if I'm doing it right or wrong. I have my own process, Sylvia.
All right.
Thank you very much.
My partner won't send this, but she hates my mom's cooking, and my mother insists on cooking every time we visit. We've even offered to take her, get her takeout, and she refuses. I just laugh watching her try to choke down my mom's meatloaf.
Oh, God, oh, no. that is just cruel and unusual punishment.
I don't know. You give them an out and they won't take it. You're like, no, go enjoy that.
So we've got friends back home in back where I'm from, Missouri. So every time I go visit, they always want me to stay with them. Uh-huh. You know, and they're good friends. I've known them for, you know, almost my whole life. But the problem is one of them is a smoker.
Oh, do they smoke inside?
And for whatever reason, they smoke in the house.
Oh, my God.
So,
no way.
My senses are dead to the world, so it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But
your fiance, who's never smoked a cigarette in her life.
Never. And has, like, the nose of a bloodhound.
Yeah.
Like, every time we stay there with
you
him,
stay there?
I get such a guilt trip from them if I do not.
You've known them your whole life?
For, you know, probably, how old am I? I would say since I was 3 or 4. Yeah.
Oh.
So your whole life.
Do they tell you, like, well, we've known each other forever,
no,
man?
No, they get mad like, when I stay. They get mad when I stay at a hotel.
You smoke inside.
Have you told them that?
Yes.
No, you haven't. You haven't.
He can't.
What?
You got to tell them that, man.
Man, if you're the type of person who smokes inside, there's no reason to begin with.
That's a perfectly valid excuse, man.
I've tried.
No, you
just can't say it?
Can't get to it.
Oh, man.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Dipsy or toddler?
Nisa is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Nisa? How you doing?
Hi. I'm so excited to talk to you guys. I love listening to you guys every morning.
Well, we appreciate you saying that. You've heard this game before then, I assume?
I have.
So it's pretty simple. We've got 5 clips for you, and we're just going to read you what was actually said word for word. You're trying to figure out if it was something that was said by a tipsy person, somebody who's had too much to drink, or a toddler. Do you have experience with people that have had too much to drink?
Absolutely. My mom's a drinker, so I've lived with a tipsy person, and I live with a toddler, so I'm good to go.
Boom. All right. You should crush this. We're just going to bounce around, go back and forth, and again, you are just going to hear what was said, try to guess if it was a tipsy person or a toddler. 3 or more correct out of these 5, and you win today, okay?
Yay, okay.
All right. Here is the first one. And I'm just like, don't do that. They... No, I'm not doing it. I'm just... And she said, here I am. As a what? I'm just by myself. Do you know where I'm going?
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
tipsy.
Tipsy, yes!
Incorrect, I'm sorry.
That's a tough one.
That was a toddler. I will play back for you.
And I'm just like, don't do it, Daddy. No, I'm not doing it. It doesn't mean I'm not doing it. I'm just, and she said, here I am. I'm just walking. I'm just going with myself. Do you know where I'm going?
That kid is definitely drunk. You should get a half point for that.
That's a tough one. That was a tough one.
All right, on to number two. Take it away, Sylvia.
All right. So the first time they ignored, second time thy kind of did, third time they kind of ignored me, but at the same time Tay did so. The third time they kind of ignored me, but they also ignored me, but talked to me at the same time, and they ignored me, but also they ordered cheesecake.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
I'm going to go with tipsy.
Tipsy, yeah. Got that one right. Yep.
First time they ignored me. Second time they kind of did. Third time they kind of ignored me, but at the same time they did. So the third time they kind of ignored me, but they also ignored me, but talked to me at the same time. And they ignored me, but also they ordered cheesecake.
I wonder why they would ignore her.
Yeah, I
can't
don't know.
Think of any reason.
She seems like a real blast to hang around.
Would love, yeah. Tell me more, please.
Whew. All right, so you get one correct, one incorrect. Here we go on to number three. Ducks to make my ear, Ermite. She met thy my trucks on pick. I'm going to put a charger in there, right? Charge my truck. That I'll say I'm that. I figured I'll just build a shed.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
I'm going to guess a toddler.
Toddler is right, yes.
Wow.
On the right track. Here we go.
Just make my bed, my shade, my trucks. I'm going to put a charger in there, right, charge my trucks. Then I'll say I'm with that. I figured I was a little shade.
Oh, you got a little southern
little
action.
Little southern, my trucks.
Oh, my trucks.
All right. You can win it right here. With the fourth one. Take it away, Mahoney.
None you're leaving. I'm not going to sit here by myself with Barbie and her three friends. No, I'm going to be with you. Oh, it looks like I peed my pants.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
Oh, man. I think it's a trick. I think it's tipsy.
For the win, you are correct. Let's have a listen.
And now you're leaving. I'm not going to sit here by myself with Barbie and her three friends. No, I'm going to be with you. No, it looks like I pee my pants.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
Well, first up in today's Redneck Report, we've got a story about a man that loved his knives a little bit too much.
His knives?
Mm-hmm. Knives,
yeah. A man from the panhandle of Florida
is
was arrested.
Is that like nine wives?
Well, funny that you say that because there's kind of a connection there.
Oh.
He has been reportedly charged after, you know, his neighbor called cops because this 64-year-old created this huge incident outside of the home of not only himself, but also of his neighbor on Wednesday. But what's interesting is that, back to what you said, Mahoney, this guy's home has actually become rather infamous after a very peculiar Craigslist ad was posted last year. In the ad and on his Twitter, John Bula proclaimed to be a priest.
Okay.
And the infamous rental listing offered his home to share for $250 monthly. He was also searching for a beautiful woman, an adult girl, to date and marry.
In the same ad.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. This Wednesday morning of his arrest, Priest Bula was reportedly making a commotion outside. His neighbors stepped out to investigate, along with his two children who followed him. Bula was standing outside wearing a handmade knife necklace and holding a knife in both hands.
I don't know what a knife necklace would look like, per se. But it just sounds stabby.
Like yeah, in your so neck, yeah.
They pointed out that it was handmade, so I assume that it was probably just like a butcher knife with a string through the handle that he was wearing around his neck.
I mean, you didn't get that one at Charming Charlie? You didn't Handmade, huh?
Flares.
The neighbor told Bula that he was making too much noise and that if he didn't go inside, he would call 911, to which Priest said, if you call the cops, I will kill you. The man went inside and called the cops. When deputies arrived at Priest's home, he reportedly shouted, I have a knife and a hammer in here and I will kill anyone who tries to come into my house. They quickly arrested him. That was it.
I don't know if there's a guy outside with a homemade knife necklace and holding two knives. If I go confront him with my children,
I don't know if I'm going to bring the kids with.
Right? Hey, kids, watch go play Nintendo.
Yeah, just wait inside.
And also, like, having that conversation with him, like, hey, Priest Bula, would you mind just you're at here? Can you bring it down
bring
to here?
Bring it down to here.
Just call the cops in the first place.
So a woman who is a masseuse approached a 52-year-old man from New Jersey at an elevator at the Seminole Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida on Tuesday morning. The woman, identified as Cassidy Rain Paris, 30 years old, Tennessee, told the man he looked stressed and offered to give him a massage. I have been to the Seminole Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida before.
Yeah. Yep.
There is hookers everywhere.
Oh.
Like, obvious, too. I mean, like, we all live in Vegas. Like, we see that sort of thing all of the time, but just like a row of them hanging out by the elevator, you're like,
all
girls, like, could
Newports.
You? Yeah, could you be a little bit more discreet?
Did someone say little? Like, I'll give you a massage?
Did they say that to me?
Yeah.
No. But I wasn't a drunk 52-year-old from New Jersey who said that sounds like a good idea. They went up to the man's hotel room. She gave him a massage, told him to take his pants off. The couple got into bed. After a few minutes, though, she headed to the bathroom complaining of chest pains. Moments later, the man heard Paris exit the hotel room. Not only was the man alone, he was also short $10,000 in cash, $6,100 in poker chips, and was missing his $50,000 watch. Hey, dude, maybe if you're going to invite a stranger, not even a fake masseuse, but just any stranger at all, into your hotel room,
put it in the safe.
Yes, they have safes for a reason.
That's why those are there.
In case if you like hook up with, with someone.
Like if let's just if we're just being real here, that's why those are there.
Yes. So that way, even people that are in your room with you can't access your valuable stuff.
Because if somebody really wants to steal, they'll just steal the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just to prevent
people. Deterrent.
Yes. Yes.
Police were able to use the surveillance video to discover that she left the hotel in a red car, and then they tracked the car to an auto rental company, and the vehicle had GPS on it. So, like, they took this pretty seriously. Police found her at a motel 4 miles east of the casino and arrested her. She is charged on suspicion of committing grand theft greater than $20,000 and up to $100,000.
I don't know how I feel about police resources being used for some dumbass who got trick rolled. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, you got to think that this guy's probably a fairly high roller if he's got a $50,000 watch, $10,000 in cash, and $6,100 in chips. Like, the casino's probably like, hey, let's look out for this guy because the last thing we want is high rollers coming here. Maybe just like cut down on the parade of hookers right by the elevator bank.
But he can't say no, though.
You look tired. Can I give you a massage?
Yes, you can.
That sounds great.
I am tired.
Why don't you just take my Rolex right now?
I am stressed. How did you know?
I got a little kink in my shoulder.
No. Lower the
lower,
shoulder.
Lower.
Lower. Up. No,
right
higher.
Here? Lower. So a couple of Oregon inmates got drunk on hand sanitizer and escaped work crew on ATVs.
You know these guys?
This guy. Man, these two dudes are my favorite of the day. Christopher J. Turr, 30, and Sean D. McAllister, 34, were part of a four-inmate work crew. So it wasn't even like a huge group of people. There's four of them. They got hammered on hand sanitizer in the jail van and then took off on the sheriff's office four-wheeler and broke through a ranch entrance gate on the way off the land. Somebody called 911 and said, hey, we spotted these guys on the ATV riding in circles. So they weren't even like really making a run for it. They were just drunk riding ATVs
sometimes
in circles.
You just want to have a good time, Dave.
The deputy in charge of supervising the inmates noticed that they were missing at 11:25 a.m. They found Turr on National Forest land at about 12:30, so an hour later.
Okay.
And about 35 minutes after that, they found the other dude.
If you're in a work release program where they let you drive ATVs, don't mess that one up, right?
Right. I mean, like, if you're even able to access an ATV, you've got it pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're going to be in the hole.
That's what happens when you get drunk on hand sanitizer.
Wow, man.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Ian, I hear you drive a Volkswagen. Me too. Can we be friends? I mean, we could work on our broken down cars together. Hit me up.
Message deleted.
I drive a Dodge Stratus!
Well, first of all, that is my girlfriend's car. I use that because my car is too crappy to drive sometimes, or I'm just too lazy to put gas in it, and she always has gas in it. And no, I don't want to be friends because no new friends, dude.
No new friends?
No new friends.
Wow.
I'm bad at maintaining friendships anyways, so I keep a solid 3 friends, and that's already too much for me.
Do they live here?
No, none of them live here.
None of your friends live
none
here.
None of my friends live here.
You're not friends with anyone in Las Vegas?
Acquaintances, I would say. Yeah. You know, if it's one of those things where if they disappeared, you know, I'd still move on. I don't think
you wouldn't be devastated.
Exactly.
You'd be like, ah.
Okay.
I'm with you though. Like after a certain age, adding in new people to the group is kind of you just really don't. Especially the worst is because as guys, we don't really add new guys in, right? Unless it's
new guys get added in. It's because they're the significant others.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
And even then, it's
girls
kind of
that are part of the group.
Even then, you're like,
I'm not so sure about you.
You really gotta prove yourself.
Yeah.
And even then, most of the time, it's just
we always get together to watch the fights or something, and we're like, we're gonna initiate you. You have to go curb stomp Ian.
Oh, thanks.
Go fix his Volkswagen.
Even meaner.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I completely agree with Mahoney on this. I hate rinsing off my dishes before putting them in the dishwasher. All right, I've hooked up dishwashers and I've hooked up garbage disposals. What some people are just not wanting to know is that all the excess food stuff goes from your dishwasher to your garbage disposal, and it's perfectly fine. I hate washing dishes before putting them in the dishwasher. It completely makes it void of why I need a dishwasher.
100%. 100%. No, and
the real reason for dishwashers is not even for washing dishes.
What, for storing them?
Exactly. It's because you don't want to have that big thing on the counter full of dishes while they dry. The actual washing of dishes is actually pretty easy. It's not a task that anyone looks forward to. But when's the last time that you actually washed a sink full of dishes?
A sink full of dishes?
Yeah.
Never. In my entire life.
Wow. Have your fiance do it?
It takes you maybe 15 minutes. Maybe.
15 minutes?
15 minutes seems too long.
That's
way too long. Exactly.
Like maybe 10?
Maybe. 15 minutes.
This guy is exactly right. I was, in the meantime, while we were talking about this earlier today, about connecting your garbage disposal to your dishwasher.
Uh-huh.
Real easy to do. Real easy to do and game changer.
You haven't done that.
Are you going
to
do that?
I just saw a YouTube video on how to do it.
Yeah, but are you going to do it?
I'm going to hire somebody.
There's a 0% chance that he is going to do that. Yeah.
Going to hire somebody because I like to support independent and small businesses.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do, Dave. That's what I do.
All right.
I pay it forward. Yes. I keep this economy going. I'm the oil that is lubricating this economy, my friend.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Trying to take away our jobs, aren't you, Dave?
Oh my God.
You're just lazy.
Uh-huh.
Just lazy.
No, I'm a patriot, Dave.
I'm ineffective, however. At least I attempt to do things myself. Quick little sidebar.
Do you have to fail in order to hire someone?
My daughter likes Christmas lights and Halloween lights and all that stuff. And so we put them up outside of our house. And this weekend I was doing that. And as I was coming down the ladder after I put some lights on the tree, my fat ass hit the wall and like a chunk of the wall broke off.
Your ass my broke ass, off?
Your ass?
It was like a little ledge that comes out from one of the windows.
Yeah.
But like my ass hit it.
Like on the house.
Yeah, and it's like styrofoam in there. I'm like, what kind of crap is this?
How?
And so
how did you hit it with your ass?
I got a big ass, man. A lot of junk in the trunk. My wife's like, what happened? Are you okay? I'm like, it's my ass. Got us again, baby.
Not a brick house.
Not a brick house.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Man, what happened to Stephen King's face? Like, I know he's older now and everything like that, but, man this guy looks like he's about to turn into a cat, man. It ain't, crazy, man. Yo, he should put out a new book for kids, but it should just be all photos of his old-ass scary face. I bet you that is sad.
Message deleted.
I think it's more lizard-like than it is feline-like. It's just, it's a facelift that just got pulled back too much.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks, yeah. It like, guys funny. Who get facelifts.
Oh, my God.
I know. Like, you could see his nostrils.
His nostrils are way too evident. It's like it's his whole nose.
It's like you see his nostrils first and then his eyes. Yeah.
If you're going to do it, just do the chin. Just do the
the lifestyle
the old,
lift,
the
as
old
you call
turkey
it?
Neck. Well, that's not what I call it. That's what it is called.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's actually called getting a lifestyle lift. But that's don't pull the whole face back.
Yeah.
Cuz like I said, you start looking lizard like.
Yeah, Stephen King has always been fairly terrible looking. It's just
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You're rich. It doesn't matter.
Right. Like anyone's going to look at him now and go, "Well, now my opinion has changed on Stephen King. He's so good looking." No, man.
Even back in the day, he wasn't a looker.
Yeah, just always. That's why he turned into a great author. If he was great looking, he probably just would have been out sleeping with people and not have amounted to anything. Yeah, he had to stay all burrowed in his mom's attic writing
novels.
Creepy books.
You know, actually, part of his writing process is that he would drink like a 24-pack of Schlitz malt liquor and then start writing.
Ugh. And that's how we end up with clowns in sewers.
Mm-hmm. Please leave a message after the tone.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Man, so I was in San Antonio last week. I'm going to say, Texas, you suck. But, man, they have the McRib, Mahoney. What the f***? Why don't we have the McRib, Mahoney?
Message deleted.
I thought we had the McRib.
No, we don't.
They have it in Southern California.
They strategically release it in different parts of the country to get people all excited about it.
But what about,
I think.
So what happens if, like, I want a McRib, which I've never had one?
You got to drive to Rancho Cucamonga.
I'm not going to go over there.
You should have gone to San Antonio with Ivan the Blind Mexican.
He didn't tell me.
Could have made it a date.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a blind date.
Yeah.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So there was an activist down in Florida that was upset because somebody was fishing. Now, fishing is something that is quite literally as old as the human race.
I mean, some of the oldest proverbs are, you know, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's very prolific.
So this activist was upset not just at the person that was fishing, but also people that were eating at a Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
And their goal was to spread the message that, quote, it's not food, it's violence.
Okay.
I'm fixing to throw him back in the water.
No, you're not going to touch him.
I'm not going to touch this.
Why? Because he's your property? Is he your property?
Is he your property?
He is now.
It is our property.
No, he's not. Don't step on that fish.
I will call the police.
Call the police. How'd you save the fish life? How about that?
Oh, God, you are the worst. God. I have no problem with vegans or vegetarians or any sort of, like, whatever you want to eat.
You were an ovo-lacto-vegetarian for quite some time
last
year.
I may go back to being a vegetarian.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I
on the skinny years, sometimes you do that.
Yeah.
Your fiancé is a vegetarian?
Yep. Health-wise, it's probably better for me than eating Chick-fil-A every day. But the moment you become this, like, evangelist for whatever it is that you're doing, and you're disrupting other people.
When you start forcing your views on somebody else, regardless, it's not okay.
And it's with anything, not just with, like, vegans.
Right. And okay, and here's the thing, too. Fish, as far as fish go, fish are not cute. Fish are not, they have no feelings.
They stink.
They're stupid.
Have you seen the angelfish? Those are pretty cute.
No, they are not, Sylvia. All
goldfish.
Fish.
There can literally be a basket of other dumbass fish that got caught in the water, and the other fish are like, well, this looks like a good place to eat. Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Fish.
Oh, there's a hook in there. My God.
Like, fish are not cute animals. And I'm sorry, like, when it comes to, like, animals, the hierarchy on how it exists is like, do I eat you? Are you cute? You know, like, that's kind of like how it goes down. Like, there are certain animals you just don't eat because they are too cute. Just happens. Fish on the very bottom of that, which is why you see people who are pescatarians who will only eat fish and no other animals. It's because they are slimy, and they are not cute, and they have no emotion.
So a referee at a football game.
You didn't get to the best part of that story, though.
Oh, how they actually got in trouble for it?
So they took that guy who threw the fish to court.
Yeah.
What?
The guy who threw the fish has to pay $500 mm-hmm. to the fisherman for stealing his property. I love it.
There were several vegan and animal rights supporters that came to the trial, though they weren't involved in the protest that day. PETA has supported the group that was doing this, which, again, stop getting involved in other people's day-to-day life by throwing their fish back in the sea. You're not doing anyone any favors, including the fish.
Yeah.
Like, the fish was already half dead out of the water. He got stepped on by that guy.
By a bigger fish now. That's what's going to happen.
So a referee at a football game had to stop the game and ask people to stop throwing snowballs because it was disruptive to the game.
Was this in Philadelphia?
No. This was in Boulder, Colorado.
And now a stoppage as the back judge blows it dead.
You're going to ask the fans on both sides not to throw snowballs onto the field. That's dangerous for the players from both teams. Please, no snowballs down on the field. Thank you.
I just feel like he's a target.
That's a dad. He's a dad.
Yep.
It's like, can you idiots please knock this off? We're trying to play a game. Here, come on.
But I feel like he would be a target, like everybody would want to hit him with a snowball.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not wrong. Throwing projectiles from high up in the stands at players, even if they're wearing helmets, is dangerous.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah, a little bit ridiculous.
Ian, do you have this fart audio?
Oh, I do, actually. Let's get into it.
All right, so here's what happened. They're saying that the world of professional dart throwing has been rocked by two players accusing each other of repeatedly farting during their match. Gary Anderson of Scotland and a Dutchman by the name of Wesley Harms blamed each other for rotten farts. He's like,
It's just an oven.
What's the problem?
How dare you?
Anderson, who has twice been the world champion, won the match 10-2 to earn a place in the quarterfinals of the competition. But in a post-match interview, Harms said his poor form was due to Anderson breaking wind on stage and leaving a fragrant smell. He also said it would take him 2 days to get the smell out of his nose. So they turned on each other, but somebody questioned the Scot who had won the whole thing about the smell of farts on the stage, and he quickly said, "Oh no, you know it's not me for a very specific reason."
It was bad.
It was bad.
It was bad. Yeah. It was a stink. I thought it was him, and he started playing better, but must have needed to get some wind out.
Yeah. And he thought it was you.
Oh no, hands up! Swear on my kid's life. So help me God. Nothing crossed.
But it was smelly anyway.
It was smelly. Usually if I fart on stage, I shit myself. If I'd farted, it smelled like that, I'd put my hands up and go, "Oh, sorry." It was eggs. Rotten eggs.
Not from you.
Not from me.
I mean, darts and farts, Dave. Just one letter apart.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
The sweet sounds of a laundromat.
Dirty laundry.
So Ian goes out to these laundromats around town. He's really just found one that really strikes his fancy because it's in a dicey part of town. He always runs into interesting people when he is out there, and he asks them to reveal their dirty secrets to him. I mean, it's dirty laundry, right? Mm-hmm. Things that you don't normally tell other people. And sometimes it takes a little poking and prodding, and today we have ourselves a double feature, right, Ian?
Yes, we do. I lucked out, actually. I had some people who were very willing to let me into their dirty laundry.
Very nice.
Yes, the first person who I talked to was a taller gentleman. He caught my interest because he was wearing a hat that was kind of bedazzled with pot leaves on it.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, this guy's got to have some good stories.
Fashionable.
Yes, he was actually just hanging out outside the laundromat. They have a community of people that just hang out outside.
Okay.
Which is strange. I don't know if you guys recall, but remember when I told you that they put maple syrup on the curb so no one would sit on it? Yeah, those are the people they're trying to deter from standing outside. So he had a story about an unfortunate fashion incident. And then after him, like immediately right after, a couple walked into the bar. And they were adorable because they had a dog and almost no teeth.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
The dog had no teeth?
No, the dog had all the teeth. It's
the couple. It was the owners that were really gummy.
Really gummy. And then the teeth they did have, it was like really spaced out. It was that typical Halloween costume that you always
use. Like the dentures or whatever.
Yeah.
And you thought, I should talk to them. And that's what leads us to today's double feature in Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry.
All right, so currently I'm outside the bar laundromat. I've met a couple of friends, but I have one here in particular. I like your hat. It's got a bunch of pot leaves on it, and it says, what does it say on the side? High Life 420. I'm just looking for something you've never told anybody before. What do you got?
Man, I just got a funny story real quick for you. Like, okay, so I have been walking for miles all day, just running errands, and I didn't want to take the bus. So I take my shoes off to air them out, right? So I go get a beer, smoke a cigarette, I come back, they're gone, right? So I'm freaking out. So I run back to the liquor store, I get two black bags, I tie them around my shoe, right? No lie, I had to walk around with those for hours. That was just some embarrassing moment of mine because, you know, sometimes I got a pretty big ego and it got knocked down that day, you know? I got knocked down a little bit that day. I had to walk around with two black plastic bags around my shoes.
Now, why do you have a big ego?
Sometimes I just, I don't know, I'm just in tune with my star players sometimes, you know? And you got to be to stay on top of your own game and keep moving, you know? Keep moving forward.
Even if it's in plastic bags.
Exactly.
Dirty Laundry.
I have a couple. How are you guys?
Good.
You have a beautiful dog here. What's the dog's name?
Jojo Marie. She can count to 1, 2, 3 and p*** on tree better than me.
I told you guys a little bit. The segment's called Dirty Laundry. I'm just looking for something you've never told anybody before. Now, is there something you guys have been through together?
Yeah. A lot.
Lift it here up.
Because we didn't pay our rent, I got hit with a wrench.
Oh, no. Actually, we ain't had sex in about a week, so we walked down a bike path all the way out that way, and laid a blanket down and had sex right there up against the wall on a bike path, on a public bike path.
Now, did any families come by or anything?
We don't know. We heard people, but we just tried to act like we're not there, and nobody saw us.
Oh, now that's love. Say you had another situation where there was a bike path, and you guys laid the blanket down, and someone came up and asked, hey, can I join the party?
Negatory, you can pay $10 to watch.
All right, now let's go back. You got hit with a wrench?
Yeah. Oh, no, the lady, we overheard someone confronted her about it, and she was, like, trying to take all of our Social Security, and when we told her no, she threatened her with a big old giant, like, 2-foot-long wrench, and it got all bad from there. Yeah. I had to snatch it out of her hand, and then her boyfriend came at me. I had to go at him and take care of him. And
Jojo Marie was there the entire time?
Yeah, yes. We took Jojo Marie and her and threw her over the wall, and we got safe.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's Top Stories! Here's what's making news.
Man, the Cleveland Browns suck. So Condoleezza Rice had to speak out about rumors that the Cleveland Browns wanted to interview her for their head coach position. Look, Condoleezza Rice is a brilliant woman. There's no question about it. But the idea that you're entertaining, the idea of putting somebody into a head coaching role that's never coached a football game ever is preposterous.
I'm just wondering, what is the benefit of that? If it were to move forward.
There's no benefits.
There's zero.
I don't understand that then.
It's a totally outside of the box way of thinking, man. We're just trying new stuff.
Get someone with experience.
Are the Browns just a money laundering scheme?
It seems like it, right?
They need to find ways. Like, this season's way too good. They've won, what, 3 games this season?
Two or three, whatever it is.
We've won way too many games this season. We can't have that. Let's find a way that we can go back to getting zero wins as an organization.
John Dorsey, the general manager, had to put out a statement Sunday saying the team had not discussed interviewing Rice for the position. That was reported by ESPN's Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter is almost never wrong, though. And so when he put this out, I'm like, I cannot believe
it. I thought it was
this.
A parody account at
first. I did too. I had to check the spelling of Schefter.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way this is real. Condoleezza Rice weighed in, said, I love my Browns, and I know they will hire an experienced coach to take us to the next level. If the team were to interview her, it would be the first woman ever interviewed for a head coaching job by an NFL team. Dorsey said last week that he would be open to hiring a woman for the position.
All right, great. Man or woman, at least get someone who has experience.
Yeah. Hire somebody who's at least coached once before. You know, I mean, I get that politics are dirty and it's rough and tumble.
Mm-hmm.
But football's a wholly different game than politics.
So Alex Smith had a really nasty break to 2 bones in his leg in the game against the Texans on Sunday. You guys see the video of this?
No, it was horrifying. Do I want to?
No, you don't. It's just like his leg just hanging there.
Is it like that that basketball player like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, this is very much like the injury Joe Theismann suffered 20 years ago.
Sure. Yeah.
Almost the same exact thing. It's just, devastating.
Same thing that happened to Anderson Silva in that fight against Chris Weidman. Oh. You know, the lower leg just snaps in half and the foot's just dangling there.
Oh, I don't like those.
Yeah, so they carted him off and he's going to have surgery. Definitely a season ender. Maybe a career ender. I don't know. I hope not. I like Alex Smith.
I think he's a good guy. I think he's got a good work ethic. I think he'll be back. Definitely not this season. Maybe not next season, but I have a feeling he will be back.
David Arquette says that he is done with deathmatch fighting, and he wants to fight in the UFC now.
I don't know if you saw the video over the weekend.
I saw the freeze frames of where his deathmatch.
Hit in the head with a, like, you know, those neon. Or
like
the,
a fluorescent light bulb.
Yeah, the long ones. They're like a ninja bat.
Yeah.
A ninja bat?
Ninja bats.
They're very similar to fluorescent light bulbs.
Or ninja bats.
Like ninja bats, ones, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they go in the fluorescent lights.
You probably shouldn't ninja break bats. One of those around people because of the harmful chemicals, but it was pretty brutal.
He got one of those smashed across his face. Yep.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
And if you didn't know, David Arquette used to be the WCW heavyweight champion for a brief moment back in the late 90s. People didn't. He did a movie called Ready to Rumble, and it was pretty horrific. But in the lead up to that, he actually won the championship belt for a period of time during the WCW days, and I'm not surprised that I am kind of surprised that he's still doing the sorts of things.
He's 47 years old.
He's in great shape, though.
He's in great shape.
I saw shirtless David Arquette. I was like, all right, David Arquette.
Yeah.
You've been doing crunches. You've been eating.
He said that he is not going to have another death match with Nick Effing Gage, which is the guy that did this to him.
Yeah.
The only place he wants to fight him now is in the UFC octagon.
I say put CM Punk versus David Arquette.
Yes.
Do you think CM Punk will win this round?
No.
He'd still lose.
No, I don't.
CM Punk is terrible.
I still think David Arquette wins.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No.
But I would pay good money to watch CM Punk.
Would you? Good money?
I mean, I'd pay a good $20 just to watch that final.
There's no way that this happens in the UFC.
Why
Bellator,
not?
Maybe.
So here's why the UFC... Put on fights that people want to see. Put on freak shows.
I don't think anyone wants to see this, man.
Really?
I don't think people want to see CM Punk and David
Arquette.
Former
WWE heavyweight champion CM Punk versus former WCW heavyweight champion David Arquette.
That was choreographed wrestling. Like, what? You know what's going to happen, though? The problem is when you put him into the UFC cage.
You're going to have Daniel Cormier fight Brock Lesnar.
But that's different. Like,
sure.
Daniel Cormier is a real fighter. These are two not real fighters.
How dare you?
That would just look like a crappy sparring session.
David Arquette just got hit with a light bulb, sir.
Now, if you introduce light bulbs, I am in.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Yo!
Fast food freakouts.
If I wasn't in this car, man, I'd come in there and kick your ass.
Ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Gwen is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Gwen? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Have you ever had the pleasure of being... Really, anywhere. I mean, fast food restaurants certainly have a specific connotation, but anywhere where you saw a customer totally melting down?
A customer totally melting down? Yes,
yeah.
I have.
Yeah, from time to time, you'll see it.
It's a magical moment.
Yeah. Like sometimes it's just a raised voice, and all the other people kind of start to murmur and stare. Maybe even somebody busts out the phone and starts recording.
It's super quiet.
But sometimes things go to that next level, which is what fast food freakouts is all about. You're trying to figure out in each of these three clips what the people are freaking out about. And I will give you multiple choice. And you're just trying to, again, to decode what exactly it is that they're melting down about. And if you get two out of these three right, then we're going to set you up with the prize today, okay?
Okay, awesome. Sounds good.
All right, so here we go on number one. This woman has a complaint. You're trying to figure out what her complaint is.
I'm a customer. You have a great night.
All right. So you're trying to figure out what is the woman's complaint? Was it A, that the cashier gave her attitude? B, she was given the wrong change? Or C, the woman spit in her food? Now, that was a rather robust clip, but I'll play the last 10 seconds so you can have another listen here.
Go get the go get the go fix your teeth. You have a rag ass, miserable bitch. The whole time I stood here, she that. I didn't want no food.
All right, which one is it? Cashier gave her attitude. She was given the wrong change. Which one?
The attitude one.
The attitude is correct. Yes. You have seen some freakouts before, haven't you?
Ah, boy.
Yes. Some wild one.
All right. Here we are on to number two. You're trying to figure out what the woman did not want on her food, okay? She did not want this on her food. Here we go.
Hello! Excuse me. This is so not my order. You're charging me $19 for it, and then you give me the wrong food? I had a order. Yes. You try to overcharge me, and then give me the wrong food? Please don't spit on off on me. This is all I got. I get a divorce.
All right, you're trying to figure out what is it that she did she not want on her food? A, pickles, B, mayonnaise, or C, cheese?
Oh, gosh. Was it pickles? Mayonnaise. No, mayonnaise. Final answer.
Pickles and mayonnaise are actually both incorrect. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
It was the cheese. It was the cheese. Yeah.
The more pressing question is, how do you spend $19?
At like a fast food place.
If you were at a fast food place and you spent $19, you either better be high as hell or you have made a big mistake.
Third and final one, it all comes down to this. You can get the win right here with the correct answer. You're trying to figure out what did the man want at the restaurant. So he was just making a simple request. You're trying to figure out what he is wanting.
I thought I wanted to and he everybody give it to me. And then he said, no, you, everybody you know.
All right, this guy furious because he wanted something. Was it A, a burger, B, a soda, or C, a cup of water? And I love how incredulous he got at the end. Like his voice started going, what do you mean I got a... For the win, what is your guess? Did he want a burger, a soda, or just a simple cup of water?
Water.
Water for the win is correct.
Was he crying there?
It sounded like there were certainly some tears or at least a whole lot of emotion.
Yeah.
Gwen, first time we've ever played this. Congratulations. You're a winner in Fast Food Freakouts.
Yay. Thank you.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
Three quarters of parents are now using technology to spy on their kids. A study of 2,000 parents whose kids are between the ages of 3 and 18 examine the way that they use different tech devices to help them parent. I mean, that's the whole point of technology and the advancements that have come along, right? Is that you can spy on the people that you love.
Yeah, it trickles down. The way it works is that the government creates this technology, and then 20 years later, we get it so we can use it on our kids.
That's right.
Okay.
And that way, you can, you know, still be at the sports bar with your buddies and watch your baby.
Okay.
Is that how it works?
Responsible.
That's not how it works.
No.
But more than half, 51% revealed that they use parental controls to limit or monitor what their kids are seeing on the internet, which makes sense. But specifically, if you buy technology like cameras for inside your house, you use to spy on the kids. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, obviously, within limit.
Yeah, don't get like too overboard. Would you do this to your daughters when they get a
little bit
older?
I will not only do this to my daughters, I will do this to potential suitors that are interested in my daughters.
Because those poor boys.
Oh, I'm going to wreck their lives. So I've got all these like these ring cameras that have motion detection, and I love those things. That way, anytime anyone moves in a certain vicinity, indoor, outdoor, the whole bit.
So like when like little Johnny comes over to ask Sienna out.
Yeah, and there is going to be no sneaking out.
No, she can't because I think by the time she gets to be a teenager,
doors and windows get locked. You know, it's the security systems on houses now that if a window opens or something.
And it's all because it's all motion based, right? Yeah. Like in our day and age, when we would sneak out, you just had to be quiet enough.
Had to get around the cracks and the squeaks in the floor.
Yeah, that damn squeaky ass floor.
Why when I'm trying to be like stealthy, does it squeak? Like I'm walking around normally during the day, it doesn't squeak like that.
No.
But only when I'm like moving.
Nice. Yeah. And also, I would be a terrible ninja. Like for whatever reason, my ankle cracks.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to sneak out of my daughter's room after I put her to bed at night, I'm trying to be all quiet. It's like crack, crack. I'm like, I would be an awful assassin.
But I think that by the time that your daughters are teenagers, like technology is going to be, she's not going to be able to sneak out at all.
Add another 15 years of technology in there.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. Watching.
Anyway. And now they have the GPS with the cars. They have teenager driving. You know, they have
just
like
the phone, just the phone. I mean, like you just track.
Yeah, but you
can phone.
Just leave your phone somewhere.
I mean, I guess. But like, why aren't you moving? Why you been sitting still?
I'm gonna put it on a fan. I've been tied to a dog.
Why are you running in circles?
And if you want to sneak outside the house right now, just turn off your the router.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're not gonna get to. That's gonna prevent it from sending the stuff back to the house anyway.
So a man is suing British Airways for sitting him next to a fat passenger. A man is suing British Airways for almost $13,000, has told a court he was injured after being forced to squeeze into a seat next to an obese man.
Shut up.
He claims that he suffered personal injury and loss of earnings after being made forced to sit next to a large passenger on a 12-hour flight from Bangkok to Heathrow.
12 hours?
A self-employed civil engineer claim cabin crew ignored his complaints that he would be injured if he sat next to an extremely large passenger who was described as being 6'4" and weighing about 300 pounds.
Man, that's as big as I am.
You're 300 pounds?
You're 300 pounds?
No, but I'm like 260.
Yeah.
You know, give me another couple months. I'll work on it. But I mean, but when you're that tall, but when you're 6'4" and 300 pounds, that's not really, I mean, that's big, but that's not like so big that you can't fit into a plane seat big.
Yeah.
Because the weight is distributed over the 6'4" frame.
If you're 5'5" and you're 300 pounds,
that's a
problem.
You're a bowling ball, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're wider than you are tall at that point. You know, I don't know. It's a tricky place to be in because you're already, if you're too big to fit in one seat, they make you buy a second seat. So I don't see.
Do they still do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
I know that whole thing with like Southwest Airlines and Kevin Smith happened a few years ago and it turned into a big thing because they told him he needed to buy a second seat. And he's like, what are you talking about? I fit fine in this seat. And they didn't realize that it was Kevin Smith. And so it became this big thing.
I will say this as a large man, you know, I always sit next to my fiance, you know, and she's not large. So it's like we balance each other out. But like when you and I fly together, Dave, and sometimes like a third large guy sits in between us, it makes it a little tight.
Yeah, we always try to make it even more awkward by whoever the guy is sitting in between us. Mm-hmm. We'll like ask him to pass messages to the other one. I'm like, hey, tell Mahoney that I like his shirt. It's really very nice. Tell him.
Then we, but it always turns out to be like a game of telephone, so something gets misconstrued. And no,
what do you mean you like my shirt? No, no. Oh, God.
Oh no!
This is a terrible game. So, crew arrived over at a property in Daventry, England, after an alarm was heard three times. They were worried that maybe there was a fire, and that's the reason the smoke alarm was going off. And so, you know, just out of an abundance of caution, they called the fire crew, and so they rushed out there, and they figured out that it wasn't actually a fire at all. In fact, it wasn't even a fire alarm. It was an annoying-ass parrot that had figured out how to sound like an alarm.
Oh, no.
And was mimicking it.
He likes to imitate things, and he imitated the smoke alarm so well that they called the fire brigade. It was the guy from the fire brigade that realised it was a bird making the noise. And all the while, Jazzy's sitting in here laughing his socks off.
Oh, hell no. I would set that bird free.
Oh, that is such a cute bird. What's in?
Oh!
Oh, he's only going to live for 80 years? Cool.
Tell Mahoney I shot the parrot.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Here's today's question for Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
Every time I go visit, they always want me to stay with them.
They're good friends. I've known them for almost my whole life. But the problem is, one of them is...
And every time we stay there with
you
him,
stay there? You're insane, man. I get
such a guilt trip from them if I do not.
So we were talking earlier about things that you do for your significant other, even though you don't want to. And Mahoney had a pretty good example of one that his fiance does for him.
Mm-hmm.
She is a saint.
Yeah, she is a saint. Yeah.
702-791-1075 is the phone number. If you are the first person in with the correct answer, we're going to set you up with a gift card for Aces and Ales. Good place to, you know, eat some food, drink some beer, watch some football. And again, I can't believe, Mahoney, that you would subject your fiance to this. Yeah. How long do you normally go there for?
A couple of days. You know,
so it's not even it's just a night.
3 to 4 traditionally.
All right.
3 to 4.
You know, usually fly out on a Thursday and get back on a Tuesday.
X107.5, good morning. What is the correct answer?
Smoker.
Smoker is right. Congratulations. What's your name, man?
Joe.
Joe, congratulations to you, man. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for listening this morning.
You too.
Is it too early to wish people a happy Thanksgiving? That felt kind
of
weird.
It's the week of Thanksgiving.
No. Okay, all right.
No, everybody else is being lazy and taking this week off, but us, we are live and in studio.
Are you talking about other morning shows?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did Mercedes take off again?
I don't know. No. Probably.
You don't even know that for sure.
I don't know. Can you confirm that anyone...
Everyone is here today.
Yeah, I saw Chet here.
Yeah, everyone is
No, we're the only live and local. Live and local.
We're the only live and local
Live
ones?
And local.
Everyone else, pre-recorded. You know, Mercedes doesn't even live in Las Vegas. Never has. Yeah, she lives in Moscow.
Okay.
Oh, she an agent of Putin?
That's right.
Is that what's going on?
She's trying to infiltrate your life.
There you go.
You guys have a good day. Thanks for being with us. Groupies.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine, out by the Truckee's silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.